This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Tuesday, March 14th. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, City Leaders Set Goals for Upcoming Fiscal Year, by Stuart Doreen. The Midland City Council came up with its top priorities for the 2023-24 fiscal year. The council met last week at its annual retreat at the Beale Park Ranch House. This part of the retreat process was to allow city leaders to identify goals and priorities. City officials, it was stated, will take that list into budget season when more discussion could take place about funding options. The Midland City Council also came up with its goals through 2028. They were making Midland a great place to live, premier city in West Texas, upgrading city facilities and infrastructure through investment, creating a high-performing Midland City team, having a strong economy with more quality jobs. The following were the targets for action when it came to the City of Midland's policy agenda for the upcoming fiscal year. The top priorities focused on funding sources, roads, taking care of Midland's fire and police departments, employee retention, and the city's entertainment district. At the top of the list of priorities was looking at the city's hotel occupancy tax and determining whether funding could be used to help in areas like sports fields. This was a topic talked about multiple times, as the Midland City Council has stated the need for upgrades to parks across the city, but also knows resources are limited. City leaders also put a priority on right-of-way acquisition for roads in Northeast and West Midland, the two fastest-growing parts of the landlocked city. Road systems will be needed, it was stated during the meeting, to take pressure off Big Spring Street, State Highway 349 in North Midland, and Avalon in West Midland. City leaders also want to plan for the continuation or expansion of roads, including Occidental, Fairgrounds, Todd, Greentree, Wadley, and Briarwood. Midland leaders want to make sure review, direction, and funding take place for the Firefighters' Pension Fund, after a previous Midland Firefighters' Relief and Retirement Fund board made investments and provided leadership that caused the fund to underperform. The council also expressed a desire to see design completion, direction, and construction funding happen with the first phase of a planned police fire training facility. City leaders believe that facility will help with training and recruiting. The result of the council's top priorities included direction with the tax rate, direction and funding of South Midland dirt road paving, report, direction, and funding of a city employee hiring and retention action plan, direction and city actions having to do with the development of an entertainment district. Goals through 2028. Great place to live, premier city in West Texas. Upgraded city facilities and infrastructure through investment. High-performing Midland City team. Strong economy with more quality jobs. Policy Agenda 2023-24. Targets for Action. Top Priority: Hotel Occupancy Tax, Direction and Use of Funding. Future Road Right-of-Way Acquisition, Direction and Funding for Northeast and West Areas of Midland. Fire Pension: Review, Direction and Funding. Police Fire Training Facility Phase 1. Design Completion, Direction, and Construction Funding. Tax Rate, Direction. South Midland Dirt Roads Paving, Direction and Funding. City Employee Hiring and Retention Action Plan, Report, Direction, and Funding. entertainment district development, direction, and city actions. High priority. Incentives, abatements for downtown properties, policy direction and guidelines. Outer loop right-of-way acquisition, direction, and TxDOT funding. City employee compensation, report, direction, and funding. Executive air park development land use, development and direction. Beale Park upgrades future. Report with options, direction, and funding. Indoor sports facility, partnership, direction, and city actions. Oil and gas revenues, direction, and use of funding. This article is entitled County Leaders Discuss Justice of the Peace Complex by Ben Schaffer. A new facility for Midland County's Justices of the Peace could be ready within 2 years. On Monday, the Midland County Commissioner's Court discussed the proposed facility, which is tentatively slated for Main Street, south of downtown. During a Commissioner's Court meeting in February, county leaders voted to demolish two buildings on the Midland Street. The proposed location for the JP offices is in that area, according to Precinct 3 Commissioner Luis Sanchez. Director of Public Works Andrew Avis told the court it takes 9 months to a year to pull together the necessary plans for construction and another year for construction. Sanchez agendized the item because it would be best to move forward in getting the plans done now and not wait until next budget year. By the time the budget moves in October of this coming year, we have an idea of what the cost is going to be, Sanchez said. The project should cost around $26 million, according to county leaders. The expenses will be cheaper than previously expected. This article is entitled Midlanders Come Out for Public Hearing About Library by Ben Schaffer. Nearly 30 Midlanders spoke during a public comment period regarding content that can be found in the Young Adult and Children's section of the Midland County Public Library. The agenda item came as a response to Precinct 4 Commissioner Diane Anderson noticing titles that contained sexual depictions involving young teenagers on display in the Young Adult Fiction section. Young adult fiction is typically sold to 12 to 18-year-olds in libraries nationwide. At first, many thought Anderson was attempting to ban donated library books, based on comments made during February 13th Commissioner's Court meeting. Since then, Anderson has clarified her statements as wanting to move library books that contain obscene content to adult sections. On Monday morning, during an earlier portion of the Commissioner's Court meeting, commissioners vowed to bring more attention to the public library's reconsideration policy. The policy allows for patrons to fill out a form identifying a title in the young adult section and asking the library to place it in an adult labeled section, or remove it from the library entirely. The policy states that the library has 10 days to respond to a request, and if the patron is not satisfied with the extent of the action taken by library administrators, they can bring their issue to the library advisory board. Lastly, if a complainant is still not satisfied, he or she can bring it to the county government. Anderson filed a reconsideration form for a book this morning. Library Director Debbie Garza said it was their first request in 3 years. Most community leaders who spoke Monday afternoon said they aren't in support of banning books from the library, but would like to see books containing sexual depictions, non-consensual sexual depictions, gender identity topics, and similar content moved from young adult sections to sections advertised to adults. The public comment period was not a discussion period for commissioners, but an opportunity for Midlanders to voice their opinion. Midlander Clinton Caudill said he was furious because he took his child to the library a few months ago, where she picked up a book in the easy reader section. Caudill explained the cover of the book showed a bearded man in women's clothing. He questioned why the book was available for young kids. Caudill said the county should get rid of books that are deemed pornographic. He said he did not want his tax dollars going towards supporting such content. Tyler Mayo, a Midland attorney, said while he wouldn't let his children read some of the material brought forth by community members, he doesn't want to see Midland go through a lawsuit related to book bans, which could increase tax dollars. Courtney Ratliff said young people of all ages and backgrounds go through traumatic events. He said books allow young people who are struggling personally or have dealt with traumatic events to find comfort. Most speakers said they were outraged with some of the content found in the library, and that questionable content needed to be addressed. Editor's note: to see a more detailed summary of what the public said during the hearing, go to MRT.com. This article is entitled "Tim Culp Appointed to Tech Board of Regents" by Stuart Doreen. Governor Greg Abbott has appointed Midland's Tim Culp to the Texas Tech University System Board of Regents. Culp was one of three new members appointed for terms set to expire on January 31, 2029. Culp is the president of Southwest Royalties, Inc. and Desert Production, Inc. Previously, he served as founder and president of Tandem Energy Corporation and as vice president of Adobe Resources Corporation. Culp is the chairman of the TTFY and the First United Methodist Church Midland Executive Team. He is a member and former Board of Directors member of the Permian Basin Petroleum Association and former member of the Texas Society of CPAs and the American Society of CPAs. A press release also states Culp is a former board member of the Midland Chamber of Commerce and former chair of the National Multiple Sclerosis Society, West Texas Division. Culp earned a bachelor's degree in accounting from TTU in 1981. He and his wife Annette, who also graduated from TTU with a degree in fashion merchandising, have four children, three of which have earned degrees from TTU. The other new appointees are Clay C. Cash Lubbock, president of Cash Family Investments, and Shelley Sweat, EDD, Wichita Falls. On behalf of the Texas Tech University System, I'd like to congratulate and welcome our three new regents, said Ted L. Mitchell, MD, Chancellor of the TTU System. Our system and component universities are experiencing tremendous momentum, and we look forward to each of our new regents joining our system family and collaborating with us to chart a bright future. All three appointments are subject to confirmation by the Texas Senate before officially taking the oath of office and starting their tenure on the board. Regents are appointed to six-year terms by the governor. Their first board meeting is expected to be in May, pending Senate confirmation. If confirmed, Culp would be the first Midlander to serve since Mickey Long, 2009 to 2021. Other Midlanders to serve on the Board of Regents are Julia Evetts Haley, 1923 to 27 and 1933 to 39, Joe Peavyhouse, 1979 to 85, and James L. Lindsay, 1953 to 62, according to the Texas Tech University System website. This article is entitled "Main Street Community Banks on Solid Footing," by Mella McEwen. Local banking customers, rattled by last week's failure of Silicon Valley Bank, are receiving reassurances local banks remain safe and sound. "We have been talking with customers and reassuring them about our financial strength," Bill Day, Senior Vice President, corporate communications with Frost Bank, told the Reporter Telegram by email. Speaking on CNBC last Friday, the day SVP was taken over by federal regulators, Frost Chief Executive Officer Phil Green said SVB's failure could be largely attributed to its specialized business models. As it related to the broader picture and community banking in this country, I really feel the Main Street community banks have business models that are very solid, very well understood, Green commented. They've got customer bases both on the loan side, but also, and really most importantly, on the depository side that are well understood with deep relationships. I don't see this to be a problem for community banks. He offered this banking advice. The only liquidity banks have in a crisis is the liquidity you bring to the crisis. So you better have some. Frost Bank has been in business for more than 155 years, surviving world wars, depressions, the Texas economic meltdown of the 1980s, the Great Recession, turning down troubled asset relief program bailout funds in the 2008 to 2009 financial crisis, and pandemics, Green noted. The bank's current figures show it has loaned out only 40% of its deposit base and maintains 20% of its deposit base in a checking account with the Federal Reserve. This article is entitled Midland Police Search for Missing 78-Year-Old Woman by Mercedes Cordero. The Midland Police Department is searching for a missing 78-year-old woman who was last seen Sunday in central Midland. Cirilla Madrid Jurado was last seen at about 11:30 a.m. at 200 West Jax Avenue, Suite B. She was last wearing brown/orange velvet corduroy pants and possibly a hat or a pearl headband. If you have information on her whereabouts, contact the Midland Police Department at 432-685-7108. This article is entitled MISD, Substitute Teacher Who Fought with Students Has Resigned, by Stuart Doreen. A substitute teacher at Goddard Junior High has resigned after participating in fights with students. Midland ISD Superintendent Stephanie Howard confirmed a substitute participated in fights with students at Goddard. There were no details about what classes the substitute taught, if any students were injured, or when the fighting took place. The substitute has resigned from ESS, the company the district contracts with for substitute services, Howard wrote. The investigation is ongoing. This article is entitled Legacy Freshman Seeks Principal by Stuart Doreen. Midland ISD is seeking a new principal for Legacy Freshman High School for the 2023-24 school year. The district, on its website on Friday, showed a job description for the position. The job description showed the position function and purpose as, quote, direct and manage the instructional program and supervise operations at the campus level. Provide instructional leadership to ensure high standards of instructional service. Direct the implementation of district policies and instructional programs, and manage the operation of all campus activities, unquote. Experience required are 3 years' experience as a classroom teacher and previous campus administrative experience preferred. Our leadership team will work with the Legacy Freshman High School staff to build a principal profile that will guide the selection process for the next leader at LFHS, Midland ISD Superintendent Stephanie Howard wrote in an email. The freshman campus and its leadership is essential, as this campus lays the foundation to a successful high school experience and smooth transition into Legacy High School. We will plan to make a recommendation to the board for the LFHS principal replacement at the April board meeting. Legacy Freshman has been under the community microscope this school year, as it was the topic of a special community meeting at MLK Center in East Midland because of fights, social media disturbances, and behavioral issues. District 2 Councilman John Norman and Midland ISD District 1 School Board member Michael Booker called the meeting. The current principal is Candace Warren. The Midland ISD Administrative Professional Pay Plan shows the salary range for a freshman high school principal to be between $99,824 and $152,783. This article is entitled, Texas Power Grid May Need Breath of God to Keep Cool in Summer, by Noreen S. Malik, Bloomberg. The Texas electric grid's ability to provide enough summertime energy may hinge on whether renewable sources can meet growing demand that's already sapped fossil fuel and nuclear power supplies. That's the view of Texas's top power regulator, an official appointed by Republican Governor Greg Abbott, who contends that the state's grid is becoming too dependent on intermittent wind and solar sources. Peter Lake, chairman of the Public Utility Commission of Texas, maintains that more natural gas is needed to keep the grid reliable. Some grid analysts, as well as solar and wind advocates, disagree. Texas will be relying on the breath of God to keep the lights on, he said in an interview this past week on the sidelines of CERAWeek by S&P Global in Houston. We will be depending on wind and sun. Months ahead of summer, Texas is again bracing for stretches when its power grid is tested by significant electric demand during the hot and humid days of June, July, and August. That uncertainty has contributed to a debate that's rippled through the state about the dependability of its power resources. While Abbott has been critical of renewables in the aftermath of the deadly February 2021 blackouts amid a historic freeze, solar and wind proponents instead have pointed to fossil fuels as the primary culprit for the grid's collapse. Lake has held meetings to discuss the potential of small nuclear reactors, which he said will be critical in the state, if the federal government is going to force-feed us clean air emissions. These meetings come as clean power developers flock to Texas to build even more solar power. Small nuclear reactors hold tremendous promise, and it's really a necessity, Lake said. This is the obituary column, Tuesday, March 14th. Roberto H. Herrera. Roberto H. Herrera passed away peacefully, surrounded by his loved ones, on March 8, 2023, in Midland. He was born on June 7, 1937, in Presidio County, on the San Esteban Ranch, between Fort Davis and Marfa. Roberto is survived by his son, Roberto Herrera Jr., and his wife, Selena of Midland, his daughter, Belinda Lopez, and her husband, Homer of Midland, as well as six grandchildren and four great-grandchildren. His three brothers and their wives, Israel and Maria Herrera, Carlos and Janice Herrera, Pantaleon Jr. and Kathy Herrera, his sister Ima and her husband Rafael Hernandez, his sister Lupe Herrera, and many nieces and nephews. Roberto was preceded in death by his loving wife of 58 years, Agrippina Herrera, his parents, Pantaleon Sr. and Elvira Herrera, his brother, Higinio Herrera Sr., his sister, Ava, and her husband, David Jones, his daughter, Elvira Herrera, and his grandson, Roberto Herrera III. There will be a viewing on Thursday, March 16th, from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., with the rosary at 7 p.m. at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. Another viewing will be on Friday, March 17th, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. A Mass will take place in his honor on Friday, March 17th at Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish and Shrine at 2 p.m. Interment will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at www.LlewellynGarciaPipkinFH.com. Tracy Lynn Klein. Tracy Lynn Klein, 34, of Midland, passed away on Wednesday, March 8th. Celebration of life will be held on Wednesday, March 15th at 4:30 p.m. at Nally Pickle and Welsh Chapel. Tracy was born on August 21st, 1988, to Renee and Ralph Simon in Midland. She is survived by her husband and soulmate, Christopher Klein, her beautiful children, Emma and Parker Woods, her aunt and second mother, Sherry Milam, and her loving sister, J.C. Mason, and her father, Ralph Simon. She is preceded in death by her mother, Renee Milam, and grandparents, Carl and Emma Lou Milam, grandfather, Bill Simon. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home, and online condolences can be made at www.npwelsh.com. Death Notices. Clay Henson. Clay B. Henson, 85, of Odessa, passed away on March 1st in Odessa. Clay was born on October 10th, 1937, to Bernie and Addie Mae Henson in Roswell, New Mexico. No services have been made at this time. Arrangements are entrusted to American Heritage Cemetery and Funeral Home in Midland. James Stinson. James William Stinson, 41, of Midland, passed away on March 12th in Odessa. James was born on September 23rd, 1981, to Scott Stinson and Cindy Orrick in Granbury, Texas. There are no services scheduled at this time. Arrangements are entrusted to American Heritage Cemetery in Midland. Joe Albert Hayes. Joe Albert Hayes of Midland died on March 7th in Midland. There are no services scheduled at this time. Arrangements are entrusted to American Heritage Cemetery and Funeral Home. Oscar Medrano Natividad. Oscar Medrano Natividad, 36, of Stanton, passed away on March 10th. Viewing will be on Monday, March 13th, from 9 a.m. until 8 p.m. at Stanton Memorial Funeral Home. Funeral service will be held on Tuesday, March 14th at 10 a.m. at First Baptist Church. Online condolences can be received at www.stantonfh.com. Pamela Osmus. Pamela Osmus, 73, of Midland, passed away March 10th. Celebration of life will be held at 5:30 p.m. Thursday, March 16th, at the branch at NPW. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home, and online condolences can be made at www.npwelsh.com. Ramiro Ram Solis Machuca Jr. Ramiro Ram Solis Machuca Jr., 39, passed away March 6th in Fort Worth. The family will receive friends from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Funeral service will be held at 5 p.m. Wednesday, March 15th, at the Ellis Funeral Home in Midland. A celebration of his life will be held after his services at Grand Marquez Event Center, 4105 South Highway 349 in Midland.
Hello, this is Michael, and I'm reading the Odessa American, published Tuesday, March 14th, 2023, front page. Legal battle set for March 24th in Norris versus City. Attorney calls latest legal maneuvers like Orwell's Animal Farm, by Kim Smith. The legal battle between local attorney Gavin Norris and the city of Odessa has taken a turn, with both sides accusing the other basically going on fishing expeditions that have nothing to do with Norris's lawsuit. On December 13th, the Odessa City Council voted 5-2 to fire City Manager Michael Marrero and City Attorney Natasha Brooks without explanation. Norris filed a lawsuit alleging Mayor Javier Hoven violated the Open Meetings Act by not allowing citizens to comment prior to the vote. The city held a special meeting January 9th and again voted to terminate the pair, but after allowing the public to voice their opinions. An attorney hired to represent the city on the matter, Jeff Whitfield of Fort Worth, has since asked Ector County District Judge John Schroed to dismiss the case because of the actions taken January 9th. A hearing on the matter has been set for March 24th. According to court documents, the parties have asked each other for discovery, or documents and information they believe is pertinent to the lawsuit. However, each side disagrees on their pertinence. In early January, Norris served subpoenas for City Secretary Norma Aguilar Grimaldo and web content specialist Victor Wade, demanding they produce documents, agendas, and recordings pertaining to the December 13th meeting and the T2 professional consulting contract signed by Hoven December 14th. T2 is assisting the city council in finding a new city manager. Court documents filed by the city also show Norris asked for phone numbers used by certain unnamed people following the December 13th meeting. Whitfield filed an objection stating those items were irrelevant and nor likely to lead to the discovery of admissible evidence regarding the narrow legal question of the procedures followed in the council meeting held on December 13th. Court records indicate no ruling was ever made on the matter. However, Whitfield then filed his own motion for discovery and gave Norris until last Thursday, March 9th, to respond. Whitfield asked for all non-privileged communication between Norris and a long list of people going back to January 1st, 2020. That list includes OA reporter Kim Smith, Brooks, Marrero, former senior assistant city attorneys Monique Wimberly and Jan Baker, Judge Carlos Rodriguez, former city council member Mary Willis, local resident Matt Coday, and local attorneys Anthony Robles and Jason Scholl. Whitfield also asked Norris for his tax filings, billing receipts, contempt of court citations, and the outcomes of any bar complaints or lawsuits filed against him. On Monday, Norris said he did not provide Whitfield anything he requested. He would prefer Whitfield have to explain in open court to the judge why those items are important to the case, he said. Whitfield's request is another witch hunt against the city's political opponents or dissenters, Norris said. Ironically, we are witnessing firsthand in real life George Orwell's Animal Farm, and Javier Hoven is the Napoleon, the pig, of the Ector County Republican Party, where Napoleon is always right, and whatever goes upon two legs is an enemy, Norris said. Wimberly resigned after Brooks was fired, citing the disintegration of work environment, political process became too intertwined with position, and another senior assistant city attorney, Jan Baker, also left after Brooks was fired, saying she was ready to retire. Baker has since elaborated on her reasons for quitting. It was too dangerous to be there, she said. I've had my bar license for 30 plus years, and I didn't want to lose it with what the mayor and his people were doing. They always blame legal when things go wrong, and I didn't want to lose my license over what they did. I didn't trust them, and I didn't want to lose my reputation or my license. Robles and Scholl attended a meeting where the possible termination of Judge Rodriguez was listed on the agenda. They objected strenuously to that idea. Robles also expressed disgust at Dan Jones being named interim city attorney and the salaries Jones and interim city manager Agapito Bernal are now being paid. Coday is a frequent critic on Facebook of Hoven and council member Denise Swanner. Whitfield did not immediately return a call seeking comment. Hoven has said in the past he cannot comment on pending litigation. Odessa College. Positively OC goal is doing good beyond campus, by Ruth Campbell. What started off as a way to spread positive messages and a plug to follow Odessa College President Gregory Williams on Twitter, has turned into a scholarship that has a life of its own. OC launched the Positively OC Presidential Scholarship in 2022. 10 Positively OC scholars received a 2-year scholarship for tuition and fees. Tim Clark, a professor in the communication department at OC, said students must be full-time students and have a 2.5 GPA. Students go through an application process, and a board looks over the applications and gives recommendations for students they think are eligible, Clark said. They only need 530 more followers for Williams, and they can afford to raise the number of scholars to 20. We've had a rolling list of 10 students that have been receiving the scholarship. We are the Positively OC Presidential Scholars, so we've been tasked with spreading as much positivity as possible. We've done that in a multitude of ways over the last year and a half. For a recent interview, Clark was joined by Stephanie Franco, America Marquez, Jessica Fierro, and Joanna Haruna. Reagan Paquette, Director of the Instructional Quality in the Education Program Manager at OC, also was on hand. Franco has already graduated from OC in Culinary Arts, but in the spring she'll commence with associate's degrees in Business Entrepreneurship and Business Leadership and Management. Franco plans to also earn a bachelor's degree. Marquez is pursuing nursing credentials. Fierro wants to become a teacher, and Haruna is majoring in radiologic technology. The scholars have donated basic life supplies to the homeless, bought puzzles and games to donate to the local retirement homes, and delivered bags of goodies. Franco organized the Positive Tea, where tea was handed out to everyone along with OC swag. She also gave students encouraging notes. I got to know a couple of them, especially some from the local high schools. It was very interesting to hear their stories and to get to know them because I'm not always on campus. I like putting a face to the voice or to the name, so that was really a cool event to just do kind of meet people one-on-one, talk to them, and let them know, keep working hard and good things happen, Franco said. Haruna and Positively means spreading joy, spreading kindness, and being good to people. The way I communicate with you could be in a positive way or in a negative way, and just our energy in general determines what's on the inside, Haruna said. If you are not a good person on the inside, she said, it will show on the outside. When it comes to helping others, some people need to help a lot before they can be influenced to help others, Haruna said. Clark said OC does Twitter chats every Thursday as an institution. We love it, but we want to use it as a powerful tool. So every Thursday night, Odessa College does a Twitter chat and they'll post 4 questions, Clark said. Faculty and staff gets involved, but they also want student feedback. One of the things that I will challenge you all to do is to get as many students to participate as often as possible. But so many people have Twitter that they use for their friends and their family and things like that, and they don't really want to cross paths, Clark said. He encourages them to create another account. There's very few things that you would ever be able to post something online and have the president of your institution see it, like it, and respond to it. It helps you get to know your instructors a little bit more, Clark added. Growing up, Fierro said she wasn't really surrounded with that much positivity. But spreading good feelings can make someone's day. One can just never know what one's going through, even if there's just one small gesture, like opening the door for someone or letting someone change lanes, Fierro said. Clark said the scholarships are $1,500 for each long semester, so it's a total of $6,000, which should cover your whole degree. If it's more expensive, for example, nursing, they will help students find the funds. The group meets every other Tuesday night. The students said they would keep the momentum going even after they've graduated from OC. Haruna is not just about school. It's leaving a positive imprint wherever you go. Even when I graduate, it's still going to be the same no matter what, she added. Franco said she wants to continue to give back to the community. This past year, she participated in Feast of Sharing and a couple of things with the West Texas Food Bank. These are things I did on my own as a mom. Those are efforts that I want to pass on to my children. I want them to know it's important to always give back and not always be on the receiving end. When I did Feast of Sharing, one of my daughters got to go with me and help me too. That in itself was just great to do something like that with her. It's something we set out to accomplish together, and we got to do it together, Franco said. Fierro said she wants to keep spreading positivity even later on in life. She wants to spread good feelings to young people so they can learn a way to live life in a better way, in a better mindset. Clark said she tries to leave things better than he found them. He noted that the majority of students in Positively OC are also members of Phi Theta Kappa and the National Society of Leadership and Success. We want to have as much effect on the community as we do directly here on campus. We think that everything we do here on campus will spread to the community. That's ultimately the goal, Clark said. Farmers Market Mobile Pantry debuts in Pecos. To promote healthy eating habits and address food insecurity among children and families in the Permian Basin, the West Texas Food Bank and Oxy have partnered to activate the new Oxy Farmers Market Mobile Pantry truck with the launch event for students at Crockett Middle School. The Oxy Farmers Market Mobile Pantry made its debut at CMS March 10th, offering students a variety of fresh fruits and vegetables that are both delicious and healthy. In addition, West Texas Food Bank provided students with the opportunity to learn about how fresh produce is sourced, how to incorporate healthy fruits and vegetables into their meals, and the nutritional benefits of eating healthy whole foods. Oxy is excited to partner with West Texas Food Bank to introduce our new Farmers Market Mobile Pantry, said Samantha Lombardo, Director of Community Relations and Employee Engagement. Oxy is committed to addressing hunger and food insecurity in our communities, and we're thrilled to celebrate the launch of this new mobile produce pantry with the students of Pecos Barstow Toya ISD. The new Oxy Farmers Market Mobile Pantry will serve 19 counties in West Texas, delivering fresh produce and whole foods to thousands of children, seniors, and families in need throughout the Permian Basin. CMS students also engaged in various interactive stations to sample a variety of fresh produce and view healthy cooking demonstrations provided by West Texas Food Bank. Oxy's volunteers also distributed eco-friendly reusable lunch kits and a family-sized bag of farm-fresh produce to all staff and students, providing them with the opportunity to share the importance of good nutrition and how it positively affects their overall health and well-being. We're thrilled to have this unique opportunity at Crockett Middle School, Superintendent Brent Jasko said in a news release. Oxy and the West Texas Food Bank have been great community partners to PBTISD, and we're ecstatic that they chose CMS for the debut of the Oxy Farmers Market Mobile Pantry. The mobile produce pantry will travel to many locations across West Texas, making fresh fruits and vegetables available to those who may not have access to healthy food options. Oxy and the West Texas Food Bank believe everyone should have the opportunity to make healthy food choices, regardless of location or income level. The West Texas Food Bank is happy to unveil the Farmers Market Mobile Pantry to our community, said Libby Campbell, CEO of the West Texas Food Bank. We wouldn't be able to continue to bring such innovative modes of education and feeding our community without our partners like Oxy. This truck will be the first of its kind in West Texas. Not only will we be able to bring thousands of pounds of fresh produce throughout the 19 counties, but we will also bring components of education, curiosity, and healthier habits to those who may not have access in rural communities. Oxy continues to touch so many lives in so many ways. For more information, visit West Texas Food Bank's website at https://wtxfoodbank.org. Quick hits. Free tax assistance. The Ector County Northside Senior Center, 1225 Adams Avenue, has scheduled free tax assistance for seniors from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Tuesdays and Thursdays through April 11th. Appointment is required. For more information or to make an appointment, call 432-337-5281. Cactus and succulent sale. The Chihuahuan Desert Research Institute, 43869 Highway 118, Fort Davis, has scheduled the annual cactus and succulent sale from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. today and Wednesday. A variety of native Chihuahuan Desert species of cacti and succulents will be available for purchase in addition to outdoor landscaping plants like ocotillo, agave, yucca, and candelilla. Free art demo. The Palette Club of Midland, 907 West Wadley Avenue, has scheduled a free art demo from 9:30 a.m. to 11 a.m. today. Artist Sherry Thomas will demonstrate adding texture to your canvas artwork. Fairy Tale Poetry Party. The Ector County Library, 321 West 5th Street, has scheduled a fairy tale party from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. today in the Children's Department. There will be a fairy tale story time. Participants can make their own fairy wings and magic wand. Each party goer gets a goodie bag of fairy gifts to take home. West Texas Jazz Party. The West Texas Jazz Society will present its 57th annual West Texas Jazz Party, June 2nd and 3rd, at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center, Devonian Ballroom, 305 East 5th Street. Evening concerts will take place from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m., June 2nd and 3rd, and brunch concert will be from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., June 3rd. Artists scheduled to perform: John Eric Kelso, Harry Allen, William Anderson, Peter Anderson, Dan Barrett, Danelia Soledad, Nate Nahar, Rebecca Kilgore, Frank Tate, Richard Simon, Chuck Redd, Ricky Malici, Johnny Varro, Brian Piper, Rosanna Sportiello, and more. For tickets or more information, visit tinyurl.com/7H2XJXS5. Odessan accused in delivery of controlled substance. A 19-year-old Odessa man was arrested early Saturday morning after an Odessa police officer found multiple boxes of THC vape pens in his car, along with more than $500 in cash. According to an OPD report, a sergeant found the boxes while checking out a Dodge Caliber that was parked at Slater Park at 4:30 a.m., well after park hours. He also found a loaded Glock handgun with a round in the chamber and a small amount of marijuana. Will Edwards was arrested on suspicion of delivery of a controlled substance, a first-degree felony, punishable by 5 years to life in prison, and the misdemeanor charges of possession of marijuana, unlawful carrying of a weapon, and possession of drug paraphernalia. Edwards remained in the Ector County Jail Monday morning on surety bonds totaling $52,341. Two arrested in jugging. Two Houston men were arrested Friday after surveillance videos linked them to a case of bank jugging, which is when people are robbed after leaving a bank. According to the Odessa Police Department, a man conducted a bank transaction on March 3rd, went to another local business, and a man forced his way into his vehicle, grabbed a bag belonging to a man, and then assaulted him when he tried to stop him. When other people tried to help, a second suspect pulled a gun. OPD officers set up surveillance around area banks and noticed a vehicle following customers as they left the bank and realized it was the same vehicle that was involved in a robbery in Midland. While officers were watching the vehicle, they saw a man cover up the license plate and then approach an unoccupied vehicle that had just left a bank. Officers arrested Frederick Lamont Pearson, 35, and Darius Russell, 29, and booked them into the Ector County Jail Friday. Although OPD sent out a press release stating both men were arrested on suspicion of aggravated robbery, a first-degree felony, jail records do not reflect that. Pearson was booked on suspicion of attempted burglary of vehicles and possession of marijuana and a theft of property charge out of Midland. He was released Sunday after securing surety bonds totaling $52,000. Russell was booked on suspicion of attempted burglary of vehicles and was released Saturday after posting a $500 surety bond. Ector County Library hosting spring break events. The Ector County Library is welcoming family, including the kiddos, for spring break events. On Tuesday, the fairy party from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Wednesday's event is mini golf from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. Thursday's event is lightsaber craft from 4:30 p.m. to 6 p.m. Finally, on Friday, the library will be hosting its Star Wars party from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. All of these events will be in the children's area on the third floor of the library. All are welcomed, and it is free. For more info, please visit ector.lib.tx.us/events-calendar. Stolen phone and wallet leads to arrest. A 23-year-old Odessa man was arrested on a robbery charge Saturday after one of his buddies accused him of stealing his iPhone and wallet. According to an Odessa Police Department report, a woman called 911 around noon Friday to report the theft, and when police arrived to speak with her and her 23-year-old boyfriend, they saw he was wearing a bloody T-shirt and had several cuts to his hands, face, and knees. The man told officers he drove his friend, Alex Nathan Morales, West Ada Street, home around 4:30 a.m. Friday because Morales was drunk. The pair stayed in the car, and at 11:30 a.m., an unknown man got into the back seat, he said. The unknown man accused him of stealing from Morales, got out of the car and grabbed his iPhone and wallet, the alleged victim said. He exited the car too. They fought over the items and he fell. At that point, the alleged victim said Morales kicked him in the stomach and the other man drove away, the report stated. Morales also drove away, but not before he spotted his cell phone in Morales' pocket, the man told officers. An arrest warrant for robbery was issued and Morales was booked into the Ector County Jail shortly before 2 a.m. Saturday. Morales remained in the jail Monday morning on a $25,000 surety bond in that case and on a $2,500 surety bond in an Ector County Sheriff's drug case. Robbery is a second-degree felony punishable by 2 to 20 years in prison. Midland teen dead following accident. A 19-year-old Midland man has died as the result of injuries he suffered in a rollover crash Thursday. According to the Texas Department of Public Safety, Freddy Gomez Hernandez was traveling south on County Road 1040, roughly 15 miles east of Midland, when he entered a curve at an unsafe speed. He lost control of his Chrysler Sebring, and it went off the road and rolled multiple times into a field. Gomez Hernandez, who wasn't wearing a seatbelt, was thrown from the car and taken to Midland Memorial Hospital, according to DPS. He died Saturday. Commissioners table burn ban. The Ector County Commissioners Court voted to table a county burn ban during last week's meeting. The burn ban recommendation came from Odessa Fire Rescue Battalion Chief Bradley Reese due to an increased number of red flag days and grass fires. According to the Texas A&M Forest Service website, the counties surrounding Ector with burn bans include Andrews, Ward, Winkler, and Upton. The counties that don't have burn bans are Midland and Crane. The court unanimously approved the joint resolution and notice of election between the Ector County Independent School District and the Ector County Hospital District to hold a joint general election on May 6th. The court also approved early voting for this election. The court also approved the proposed calculation of rental rates to all political entities of the new Verity Heart equipment. The court also approved a resolution in the appointments of Mark Merritt and Bill Ritter to the Ector County Odessa Joint Airport Zoning Board, approved the required documentation of eminent domain authority in Texas, approved a grant application for fiscal year 2024-25 RLSS-LPSHS with the Texas Department of State Health Services for the purpose of local public health services, OOO, funds for providing public health education to Ector County citizens. Approved to amend the contract with PHWF number HHS-00107-850001 between Ector County and the Texas Department of State Health Services to include a list of dates for submitting a financial status report biannually to the system agency, DSHS. Approved to amend the contract number HHS-0010-226-00001 between Ector County and the Texas Department of State Health Services to include subsection D, which lists the time frame for submitting the biannual financial status report and the final closeout FSR to the system agency, DSHS. Approved bid specifications on armored car services, bid number 23040701. Approved the proposal specifications on the Coliseum Complex exterior painting, RFP number 23041401. Approved necessary action regarding change order number 8 for Moss Mill and Overlay. Approved necessary action regarding the specifications for the West 42nd Street from FM 1936 to Knox Avenue improvements, bid number 23041201. Approved an additional $5,000 for the Detention Center Transport Fund account. Approved a line item transfer to General Fund, Post-Sentence Monitoring, Office Supplies, OOI-425-5171, for $15,000 to Department Furniture and Equipment, 001-425-5199, for $15,000. To Subscriptions, 001-425-5207, for $20,000 from Contract Services, OOI-425-5309, for $50,000. Approved to receive the fiscal year 2022 annual audit report of the Ector County Jail Commissary account in accordance with Local Government Code Section 351.0415D. Approved the Accounts Payable Fund Requirements Report for March 9, 2023, and review county financial statements and reports. Death notices published Tuesday, March 14th. Janet Lee Compton, Midland. Janet Lee Compton, 70, of Midland, died Sunday, March 9th in Midland. Memorial service is scheduled for 1 p.m. March 14th, 2023 at Ranchland Heights Baptist Church. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery, Funeral Home, and Crematory of Midland. Joe A. Hayes, Midland. Joe A. Hayes, 76, of Midland, died Sunday, March 7th in Midland. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery, Funeral Home, and Crematory of Midland. Clay B. Henson, Odessa. Clay B. Henson, 85, of Odessa, died Sunday, March 1st in Odessa. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery, Funeral Home, and Crematory of Midland. James William Stinson, Midland. James William Stinson, 41, of Midland, died Sunday, March 12th in Midland. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements by American Heritage Cemetery, Funeral Home, and Crematory of Midland.